This is How Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Howdy, everybody. My name is Brooks Like, and this is How Men Think podcast, where we are decoding the man code, as we like to say. And I'm sitting here with my handsome, very well, extremely well dressed.
Feel handsome.
Friend, Mr. Gavin DeGraw.
Good to see you, Brooks. The very, very handsome Brooks.
Hey, how are you doing today, buddy? You look awesome, happy, man. Today.
Man, I'm happy. Always happy.
You're always happy. That's what
I
love.
Yeah, man. I try to be happy. Even when I'm not happy, I'm going to smile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got those beautiful teeth, right?
Let's not talk about my crooked teeth.
No, hey, come on.
You're making me self-conscious.
They're beautiful. How's life with you, buddy? You been busy?
Things are great, man.
Yeah.
Busy. Got to be busy.
You're always busy.
If you're not busy, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love it.
If you're not busy, you're bored. You're thinking about how you feel. And if you're thinking about how you feel too much, you're not busy enough.
Yeah, or you do a podcast about
That's right.
Hey?
Let's talk about how you feel instead of me.
Yeah. We also got here with us, we've got Dimitri and we've got Rick. Good sirs. Dimitri, what's up with you? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah. Feel good.
Likewise, I should say you look very
good.
Handsome
look good.
Today.
Yeah, you went from handsome to we got these guys. Yeah. So.
That's my bad.
It's fine. I'm not fishing for compliments. It wouldn't hurt.
Rick, how you doing, boss?
Horrible.
Oh, no, damn.
I'm kidding. I'm doing excellent.
Yeah.
I'm excellent.
Awesome,
yes,
buddy.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys coming in today. And also today, we're very excited. We have a great episode for you guys. Very excited to introduce a special guest on the podcast, Christy Morell. Let's welcome
Christy.
Hi,
Christy.
Hey, Christy. Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So Christy is a dietitian for USC. She has a private practice, and she was also, gentlemen, our dietitian for the LA Kings when I played with the Kings.
Wow, amazing. Nice. Real history right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we have worked together. She's amazing, exceptional at her job, and exceptional at communicating. And also I'll say this about Christy, she has the best snacks.
Mm-hmm.
She always comes packing with the best snacks.
I really do. I would agree with that completely. Mm-hmm. That is a love of mine, is to find really good, healthy, but tasty snacks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Can I just say, I'm a little relieved because you actually have the same name as my girlfriend from college that didn't end well. And when I saw Christy Morell is coming in, I was like, oh my God.
Are you serious?
First and last?
I was like,
this
is going to be awkward, but.
Oh, okay. That is rude.
That's too bad. I really would have liked to see that.
Damn, that would have made for a good show. Well, Amy, now you know, book another Christy Morell. But we appreciate you being here. I have so many questions for you personally.
Awesome.
We worked together. It wasn't long enough. The Kings released me. If you have any pull there, you know, let them know I'm still in shape and I will come back. But I appreciate, I look forward to picking your brain because you work with athletes and performers all the time, have a wealth of knowledge. But the first topic we want to get to is Rick has had an issue with one of his kids, which I believe you'll be a lot of help with. So I'll segue this to Rick.
Hey, Christy, really want to get into the topic of diet and health with you for sure, but I wanted to ask you just one quick question about at what age is appropriate for kids to get cut or make the team, or when do athletics turn into like a real competition? You know, my daughter was recently cut from, she was been playing soccer, club soccer for the last 3 years, and she was on the A team, and recently they had tryouts and she got cut and moved down to the B team. And you know, we were, quite honestly speaking, we were all devastated. I mean, she was devastated, not from the fact that she went from the A to the B team, but she was just emotionally, she's 10. I think at the time she was just emotionally distraught. It was more social, I believe, than it was anything about, you know, not being good at soccer or at a certain level. Frankly, I think she was at the right level where she got placed. But I do think, you know, what kind of just has been driving me and my wife lately is, you know, like, we were, you know, I'm a competitor. I played sports in college, you know, and so it was just drove me nuts. The first thing I wanted to do was like, we're going out on the field and we're going to practice for 3 hours, you know? And then I was like sitting back and I'm like, that's not good. That's not the right way to do it. You know, I mean, she's only 10. And my thing I wanted to bring up in here was like, what is the most appropriate age to start kids where it is ultra competitive, you know, and what's the right thing? You know, you hear stories about parents that are living vicariously through their children, and dads and moms getting in fights at school or at the game and stuff. And so that was just something I wanted to share upon with you guys, with you all. So
No, that's a great question. And I think that I think a lot of parents do that. So if you're a good parent, in my opinion, you have those conversations. Is it more important for her to get on the field and keep practicing and try again next year? or is it more important for you to see her to be able to do that? Do you know what I mean? So
yes.
I think when you have a huge disappointment like that, it's almost supporting her, loving her, and just be like, you know, obviously, for whatever reason, it is what it is right now. You can't just stay in that lull and be sad for the rest of, you know, the year. But what can you do to empower yourself to maybe you want to try again or maybe not? And that should be a conversation versus, okay, honey, what we're going to do is on Sunday, we're going to get out there for 3 hours. And we're going to practice that one kick. It's like, whoa, dad, like really? So
yeah.
With that conversation.
I think it's important for the kid to be competitive and to want to be competitive, not the parents. So it's like, all right, we're going to get out there and we're going to, does she want to, I know she's disappointed, but does she feel the fire to want to get back to that A team? Like she's got to have that, not you. So, and I'm not saying that's what you're doing.
No.
But I think it's important, you know, my daughters play club soccer as well. And it's like, my wife played soccer in college and stuff. So she's really, we're both competitive people, but it's like, we want them to have that fire. It's awesome that they do. And if they do, but I realize that if we push them to do that, then it's not a good mix.
So Christy, you have two kids, correct?
Yes. I have two boys.
Two boys. How old are your boys?
12 and Dylan will be 10 in July.
So you're right, just starting to get into the thick of it. Mm-hmm. And you work with athletes. You work with USC. You work with the Kings. Mm-hmm. You work with top level athletes. How do you approach it from a standpoint of when is it time, at like your 12-year-old, is it time to now start dialing in his nutrition and trying to build him up to be an athlete? Or do you just defer to him what he wants? When is it time as a parent to start escalating the process if your kid wants to be an athlete?
So this would be an awesome question for my kids because I think because of what I do and what I know, I have been teaching them, and I think Amy can comment on this, but they have always eaten really well, not to the point where they don't eat sugar, I don't allow it. So I think as parents, you should start teaching your kids, educating your kids, communicating with your kids about nutrition from as little as they can, you know, as soon as they start eating, honestly, because you can't be like, okay, we're just going to kind of let you do your thing, eat whatever you want. And, oh, now you want to play sports. Okay. Well, we're just going to like undo all the things and try to have you eat healthy and take care of your body. It's like, you should be taking care of your body, whether you want to play sports or not. And then I would say for Devin, certainly right now he's at that age. Interestingly enough, we have a beach date coming up and he's like, Mom, I really want to be able to take off my shirt and feel good about my abs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Me too.
He's like, are there things that I could be doing differently? I love his communication with me because we talk about nutrition all the time in our house. So he's like, what could I be doing differently where I could feel better about my stomach? And I'm like, that's a great question. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's genetic for kids. Like some kids have that, like my youngest son, Dylan, has a very flat stomach and he just does. Like he has one of those kids that you would see and he's just always going to have a very flat stomach. Devin just doesn't. And so I talked to them about, okay, well, you could cut back here and here if you want to on some sugar that you're consuming and we'll just kind of lay it out for him. But I don't ever press like, oh, you need to have X amount. I would never say to a kid ever to start counting calories, to start measuring their food, to you know, weigh themselves or to do anything that could jeopardize their relationship with food and their body. So if he came to me and is like, because he's into wrestling right now. And of course that wrestling is a sport where it's a little tricky with weight, but he's not at that level yet. But in terms of getting him to be competition ready, or if a kid asked, I would say, yeah, let's look at your current eating habits. What could you do differently? Could you eat more protein and a little less snacky foods? Could we find replacements of things that you like that are healthier that might help you cut back on a little bit of body fat? Because it is a competitive world, but you have to be able to be, it's such a delicate topic. And I think parents' involvement can get a little sticky. So sometimes you want to bring in a professional because then you don't have to have that conversation of then the kid starts to eat something like chicken nuggets and you're like, wait a second, I thought you said you wanted to, you know, get a little bit leaner.
Yeah.
That becomes a little bit tricky because then you're now the food police and then they feel like, oh, you're watching them. And I'll tell you right now, from all the kids that I see in my private practice, that's where things start to brew. And then once they've gone down that path, it's a tough one to pull back on. So you do want to be careful.
The opposite is bad too. You don't want to reward them with donuts.
Exactly. Same thing.
Because then they're shooting for that and then they're eating the opposite way and you're giving that to them.
Absolutely.
So, I once had when I was growing up playing hockey, one of the guys like in my class and on my hockey team would get a score bar every time he scored a goal.
Wow.
True story. He'd get a score bar from his dad every time he scored a goal. And we played this one town. We beat them 45-0. We beat him 45 rip. He picked up 8 goals and he got 8 score bars.
And now he has no legs.
And he was a very large child. Like he was to this day still is a large, a large person.
Absolutely. And I think, parents do that often. Oh, you're sad from school. You had a fight with a friend. Let's go get you some ice cream. You'll feel better. It's almost like something that kids, you know, they it's a reward system and that's how they cope with their feelings. And then that lasts them, can last them their whole life. That's how they reward themselves or, you know.
Well, I was going to say it. Like, I feel like it's a fine line, like you're saying, is the food situation or the nutrition versus, like, at what point does competitiveness take over where it's like parents are pushing their kids, you know? And I feel like this is maybe a little bit of a bigger picture, but, like, it is important for, you know, you can use athletics to get into college now and you don't have to get in a natural way. In fact, I wouldn't say it's easier, but it's definitely a different path.
Absolutely,
right?
You know,
and
it
is a huge one. I took it myself.
Yeah.
And... but like there are people that are trying to use that, private coaches, private quarterback, you know, and trying to get their kid to be that much better. And I think it's almost like this way of, you know, pushing them to a limit where they're looking for other outlets to get away from that sport. You know, most kids at a certain point, you know, and it's like they're either going to food or drugs or whatever else, you know, and it's horrible.
A question.
Absolutely agree with that.
A question for you. I get asked by a parent that a kid's 12 years old or 13 years old, what kind of protein does he need to be on? What does he need to be taking? When should they really, if they want to be a competitive athlete, when can you start them on proper nutrition and really educate them on it?
I think when they ask for it. When they ask for it, then they're ready to listen and do something about it. Do you know what I mean? So if the parent is saying, you should do this, and the kid's like, I don't really want to, and I really like my pizza, and like whatever, it doesn't matter how much you talk to them or educate them, they're ultimately going to put the food in their body when they're at that birthday party or when they're at their friend's house. So when the kid says to you, I really want to focus on this, I really want to gain speed, so I know that I can be better if I really dial in my nutrition, or however they would probably use those types of language. But if they're asking for it, that's the time. And you'd be like, great, you know what? Then we're going to get a professional, because mommy or daddy doesn't know exactly how you should be eating.
Yep.
We're going to get somebody who can talk to and really understand, how do we do this? And there is a correct way of doing it. And unfortunately, kids are way too exposed now to YouTube videos and all this other stuff. And they're just going to get information online or in other places, and it's not age appropriate. These kids are still growing. So they shouldn't be taking supplements. They shouldn't be taking all these protein powders. They can do it in a natural way and in a healthy way. So they don't feel like, you know, they have to be, again, counting everything or measuring or just becoming obsessive. And that, unfortunately, is something I'm so passionate about, because I think more and more kids are almost the obsessiveness with it, getting obsession or having obsession with it versus something that's healthy.
So what would be an appropriate age for somebody to start taking a supplement?
That's a great question. I would say when they're done growing. It depends what kind of supplement you're talking about. But
The two I get asked the most by like hockey parents, back in Canada, or people that know me or my dad or my mom, they ask about protein and creatine, because they might know somebody that's on. And these kids are 13 and 14.
Okay, so definitely, absolutely not at that age. I mean, I would say, and again, it depends on the person, but when they're done growing would be ideal. So, or maybe kind of like senior in high school, maybe to college, somewhere around there. So, I wouldn't start them any sooner. Because, and it's actually not proven. I can give athletes, and I have many times, great muscle building or ways that they can lean out without having to take any kind of artificial type of supplements. There's ways to do it. So
can you give us some examples for that? For even just for a parent, if a parent's looking to lean out, or if a kid is 18, 19, or going to college looking to lean out and be an athlete, what would be some natural ways or foods that could help that kid?
Sure. The first thing I do is have each they can do this right now if they wanted to, but have them write down everything that they're eating for a week and start to see little holes. They're like, oh yeah, I snack on like when I'm in the car, or I wait too long to eat and then I get home and I'm starving. So then I just eat a bunch of snack food. So first and foremost, I'd love to see what they're currently doing. And that's just, anybody can do that. Any kid. Sometimes I'll when I go into Devin's class, I taught a nutrition class, they'll ask me that, like, what's the best way to be better about my nutrition? I'm like, well, first see what you're doing. Take notice, be mindful of your habits, because a lot of kids are either skipping breakfast or, you know, they'll eat just whatever throughout the day. And then they come home at night, and like you said, kind of binge or just eat whatever. Mm. So first kind of look at what they're currently doing. And then I can easily go through and be like, okay, well, instead of just eating a bunch of goldfish for a snack, you can have yogurt and some fruit.
Yeah. They are the pretzel ones.
You know, so, yeah.
And I think it's more, I know we're focusing on, you know, athletes and stuff like that, but I think children in general, I think the nutrition, like I was saying, there's rewarding with donuts, and then there's you know, eating completely healthy here and there, and you're getting to the supplements point. But it's like when I took my daughter to school when she was in kindergarten, we were sitting there, she was coloring, and a friend of hers came up to the table, and I was like, oh, and I said, good morning. I said, you know, somehow the topic got to her. I said, how's your morning? You know, she's like, good. I had three donuts. That's insane. This kindergartner had three donuts before she went to school.
Yeah. Oh, my kids will come home and they can't wait to tell me what their friends' lunches look like.
That's terrible.
They are like crazy.
I have amazed. A question for you. So yeah. my son plays travel baseball. So every other mm-hmm. weekend we're in a different city or a different place. And there's anywhere between 4 to 12 fields around this whole entire complex. And we're there from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. or all day long, basically. And there's one stand of snacks and foods in the whole entire thing. And it's cheeseburgers, onion rings, french fries, burritos,
hot dogs,
nachos, hot dogs. And it's, you cannot get a salad. And I almost feel like if you're kind of not an outcast, but like if I brought my own cooler with like, no, hey, come over here and we're going to sit over here and you're going to have these, you know, nuts to snack on to get you more protein while, you know, in between games, mm-hmm. like that's odd. And unfortunately, that's,
mm-hmm. I would
we're
do that.
Doing the right thing.
I was just going to say, I would be odd. Like, you know what? I would have no shame in that. I'd be like,
no, but I feel like it's like, how do we as a whole get those places to change? Or, you know, because.
Ooh, that's a big
it's
question.
Horrible.
That's market driven.
I mean, the fundamentals there are everything's market driven, right? Everything comes down to economics at the end of the day. If there's not enough choice,
yeah, it's
because the market created not enough choice.
It's cheap, yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, all the choices actually exist. Mm-hmm. The economy determines what choices you end up with ultimately mm-hmm. at sure. that one place. So fundamentally speaking, the general public wants to have a hot dog. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. So, you know, that's what you're dealing with. If you want to go against that tide, you have to you need to bring your own food.
So is that something?
You know what I mean? You're not going to change Absolutely. The culture essentially. If the culture wants a hot dog, that's going to be the culture.
But if you were Whole Foods or mm-hmm. Thrive Markets. Let's use Thrive Markets because we love Thrive Markets.
Mm-hmm. Yes, nice we do. Plug. I love
Why
Thrive
doesn't
Markets
Thrive them? Markets sponsor a huge sports baseball indoor thing and have that be their entire resource?
I love
resource.
That idea. Are you yeah, like that's Thrive. Incredible. That's an
right?
amazing
you know,
idea.
Instead of it's, you know, you got a Del Taco, you got a Burger King, you got all these other places down the street.
Right.
Or just the regular person making the cheeseburgers, but like, why wouldn't one of those places be like, hey, you know what? We're gonna have a healthy place where all these kids are gonna play.
Rick, I think you should be on the advisory board of Thrive Market.
Shark Tank,
make that
remember?
Happen.
I got my toilet paper thing.
Yeah. But there's a great irony there, and I gotta say, to me, the obvious irony is this: the sports fan, the live sports fan, going to a sports event is going there to have a beer and a hot dog. So. You know, you're coming in with parental,
it's the changed
parental
now,
advisory man. Version of what you want your kids to have and what options you want to have at the game. But
it's changing. You're starting to see some healthier stuff show up in.
Is the beer? Are the beer stands going away?
Stadiums.
But
no, I'm not saying that.
But yeah, you're also you have all the salad you're getting you want, options. And you're going to drink a pitcher of beer.
You don't have to. What I'm saying now is you don't. You can if you want, but there is an option if you don't want to. That's starting
right,
to come in.
Right.
But let's say there True. Isn't an option, Christy, as a parent. What would you do? Would you meal prep and bring something like
100%
for parents that want to do that, that have kids but want to eat healthy? Like, what would you do? And also, can you also maybe give us some examples of things, specific things or companies that you would bring with you where they can get these products from?
Sure. So I mean, first and foremost, I absolutely, I have like two or three of these, you know, little coolers, and I would pack sandwiches and yogurt and vegetables and fruit. And look, if they wanted to go over the concession stands and get a bag of chips because that's what they really wanted, the other thing too is there's a flip side of being overly, you know, oh my gosh, you can't have a gram of sugar or you can't have any processed foods. And I see a lot of kids like that too, whose parents have just put like, they can't have anything like that. And right. then they become very obsessive. So I think there's room to have both. I think if you can pack some stuff and then be like, you know what, honey, if you want to go, you know, this is going to be dinner, but if you wanted to have the hot dog for lunch, if that's what you really wanted, you have to be able to communicate. Be like, look, we're going here. We're going to be there all day long. I don't want you to just live on concession stand foods. Maybe we can pack something together. Like, can we get this and that? And let empower them to be able to make some choices versus, well, I'm just going to pack everything that I think you should have. And then the kid's like, I don't even like that.
That's
you know
brilliant.
What I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm always encouraging parents to be so involved, even packing lunches for school. The kids should be involved in that. And it's so interesting because, not to get totally off topic, but one of the things that I would say is, you know, I'll tell the kids during lunch is when you don't eat your entire lunch and you throw out part of the sandwich or all this stuff and your parents open it up, they think you ate everything, right? They think that you liked what they packed, so they're going to pack it again. And that was such a light bulb moment. Parents were like, oh my gosh, Christy, how do I ever thank you? Because my kid came home and said they never even ate that sandwich. They never liked it. They were throwing it away all the time. And they were like, oh, my kid loves my lunch. They're eating it all.
That was you, and buddy, wasn't it?
It's just the communication. There's such a lack of that with kids. And I can't tell you enough. That is such the beginning point of all of this when it comes to nutrition and their health and well-being. It's sitting down and having a conversation of like, hey, honey, let's make lunch together for tomorrow versus I'm going to pack something that you're going to throw out or trade with your friends. Like, what are we doing here? So it comes to that. But there are great companies. Trifecta is a really great company that's designed for athletes, and they have four or five different meal plans. So if you're like, gosh, we're going to be going on the road a lot and I just need quick, healthy meals that I can pack, they have a great website and they have different options and you can do it that way where they're just nice and packaged and you just, you know, can take them with you.
Can I ask you a question? Awesome. Lunchable?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Healthy Lunchable.
From adolescence, the early adolescence into like your late teens, how much of your muscular development has to do with your nutrition?
I would first say that everything is about genetics. First and foremost, having good genetics is a plus. That's number one.
Like
so you've
Mike
got
Tyson,
genetics.
He was like bulky, muscular as could be, 16 years old.
Kind of like you.
Like a lot like Gavin DeGraw.
Yeah.
Naturally, you know, Harlequin novel sort of physique.
I got it.
So
Minotaur. Sorry, that's an inside joke. Yeah, okay. Sorry, keep going. Keep going.
No, that's a good question. Keep going, Gavin.
Because he was so he seemed naturally very muscular. Like he looked like a Rodin, you know? I mean, he has a large muscular development at a very early age. You know what I mean? Which is really unusual. And I was wondering, how do you put on that kind of muscle tissue? Was that almost strictly genetic, regardless if he would have been training or not? Just that was his natural physique? Or do you think that had a lot to do with diet?
I definitely think diet and the way he lifted and trained for sure was a big part of that. Genetics is a big part of it. But nutrition, 100%. Has a huge role in that, and I'll tell you how I know that for certain, is that you put an athlete on a DEXA, you know the DEXA, right? So a DEXA is...
Guys used to hate that.
Yes, it's a body composition. You basically lay down, and it tells you how much fat to muscle you have on your body.
All the fat.
So anyway, this is like a mobile X-ray machine. You go into this van, and they scan your body. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly right. So after you get scanned, you get this printout, and it tells you how much fat to muscle you have on every part of your body, your legs, your arms, everywhere, right?
Yeah,
then you design a meal plan.
I did that, and the doctor pulled out the plug and blew on it and plugged it because he thought it was broken because there was no muscle, all fat.
What's going on here?
So basically, then you can give an athlete a specific meal plan, and they can go back on the DEXA, and you can show them, look, you gained 5 pounds of muscle and decreased 2% body fat just by following this meal plan. Now the buy-in is there, right? Now they're like, okay, this girl might know something. That's a big component because for athletes, I mean, they can see their body and their physique in the mirror. But when they know that something's really working, when they can see like, wow, I've increased 5 pounds of muscle. Mm. Because when you get on a scale, you don't know if you're gaining fat or muscle, right? So a DEXA.
I know what I'm gaining.
Muscle. Your muscle.
Totally. Yeah.
So that I would say, so 100%, there's no doubt in my mind, nutrition's a huge component to leaning out and having a good muscular physique for sure.
Right. Interesting.
Well said. Absolutely. We got to take a break. We'll get back to Chrissy. I got 1,000 more questions.
Great.
We got to take a break first. This is How Men Think. My name is Brooks Like, and I got Gavin.
What's up?
We got Rick, and we got Dimitri with us. And we're very blessed to have Christy Morrell with us as well. We're talking diet. We're talking nutrition. We're talking performance. And for people that don't know, Christy, what would be the number one reason that a parent would come to you for their kid? What is their kid maybe dealing with? What are they going through? Why do you get contacted the most from a parent? Mm-hmm.
So I specialize in eating disorders and disordered eating for kids in particular. And I unfortunately think it's on the rise because of social media and pressure and school. And there's a lot of competitiveness within sports too. So people think, oh, I need to look a certain way or be a certain way. And so there's more and more pressure on kids. And so I think the parents find me through their therapist or pediatrician or however, and they'll call me up and they'll tell me about their daughter or their son. And I see a lot of boys in my practice too, which is so sad to see these young kids really struggling with their weight or they're not eating because of stress or anxiety, and their parents just don't know what to do or how to help them.
What about for an adult? Because I have 1,000 questions for you. I feel like I'm just hogging her from you guys.
Oh, man, you're representing all of us with your questions. They're spot on.
Gavin's been taking notes over there. He's got like 3 pages.
I am. I love writing notes.
Yeah, especially on diet, nutrition.
I'm doodling.
My question for you is for, let's say, men. Mm-hmm. What are some of the very basic mistakes that we're making that we can make a change on that make a big impact right away?
I see older people that have just careers, jobs that they want to either lean out or they've been trying to follow certain diets. I mean, this is the problem is there's more misinformation on nutrition than there is credible science-based nutrition issue information out there. So some people will try to go Google or find, you know, whether it's intermittent fasting or keto. I mean, there's a million different diets out there, and people get confused. What is the best way that they should be eating? So people come to me and ask, you know, what is the best way that I can take care of myself? I've noticed that I've put on some weight, or, you know, my doctor said I have high cholesterol, these kinds of things. The biggest mistake I think that people make is they try to go find a diet on their own. They go research something and then they try to, you know, put something together just themselves, and they fail pretty miserably. And I'll tell you why, because they think the idea is to restrict or starve themselves. So they'll start with a celery juice in the morning.
Yeah. That's a big fad.
And then they won't eat until, let's say, they have meetings after meeting, and now they don't eat until 3, and somebody brought in bagels and they're, you know, shoving 4 bagels in their mouth because they're starving.
So good.
Right?
Cinnamon raisin?
They're so
cinnamon
good.
Raisin?
They're like, I'm going to be super healthy. I'm going to start with the celery juice that everybody talks about, and then I'm not going to plan my day. So it's things like that, I think, that really get people all messed up.
So are you noticing any differences in the way that males, young males, are having body image issues versus, say, years ago? Are you noticing an upswing in that trend?
Absolutely.
100%. What do you think that's due to? Do you think it's social due to media. Lifestyle? You think it's social media?
1,000,000%. Absolutely.
Do you think it has... All right. So when you say social media, do you think that's a cultural element? Meaning, do you think that's because of what they're seeing in social media and other people looking ripped, looking fit, looking handsome? Or do you think it has anything to do with sort of like the political... The way things have shifted politically, and boys feel almost guilty being boys anymore, the way that people talk about boys.
That's interesting. I never...
Because boys are sort of emasculated growing up now. They're told, don't be so aggressive, don't wrestle, be, you know, go over there, play like Jane, this that type of thing. You know what I mean? Versus being able to get out their physical...
it's in the nature.
Your nature of being a male. I was a very physical male. So, you know... I'm not, but as a child, I was what you would call very unusually physical, right? Mm-hmm. So everything was based around physical activity. That was my entire youth, right? So, and that being sort of beaten out of you as a young man mm-hmm. is very peculiar to me culturally. Do you think that has to do with it?
I've never really thought about that, to be honest, until just now that you just brought that up.
Yeah.
It may absolutely have something to do with it. I would think some of the young boys that I see in my practice, it's at least from what I'm seeing, it comes from a lot of pressure, whether it's at school being made fun of or other kids, you know, again, they're more athletic than I am. And so I feel like I don't get asked to do things because I don't have this athletic, you know, build, or I don't look a certain way, or they're just really obsessive on the other side of, you know, wanting everything to be perfect. You know, I've had a young boy who was like, everything has to be perfect that I eat. And I'm like, well, where's this perfection coming from? Why does everything, right. I mean, he like was reading at such a young age, he's reading all the, you know, the nutrition facts. And I'm like, where did you get this from? It's a learned behavior. Unfortunately, that's why I think it's so important for parents to be educated. They think that they're trying to teach their child right by, hey, honey, you know what? Let's see how many fat grams that has. Oh, that's five.
Boy.
We should only have two.
That's crazy.
So often. And parents really, when I press it on them, they really believe that they're doing their child a service because they were maybe once overweight. So they really want to protect their child. Mm. So they're doing it in a way where like, you know what? I was an overweight kid and it was so horrible. And I just want him to know. And I was like, okay, I get that. But now he's obsessive with reading everything.
Right.
And once you learn a behavior like that, to undo that is very difficult.
Sure.
So I see more of that, but I understand what you're saying. And that's an interesting idea of that could be, you know, out there for sure.
What is
interesting?
I agree with what you just said. I learned so much more from my parents by watching what they do than by what they said.
Of course.
To me. So if I watch my parents doing like not eating anything at supper, I'm probably not going to do it as well. Like I learned, absorbed so much information visually. What are some of the big, you said that one, what are some of the biggest mistakes that parents make that affects their kids?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. One, I would say just their own language around their own bodies. Their language about them, themselves, that the kid picks up on really easily. Or having a scale very plain as day in the bathroom where they see their parents getting on and off. And I've had a lot of kids start weighing themselves and, you know, mimicking that behavior. So I would say the parents, one of the biggest things is what is their relationship like with food and how do they talk about themselves? Or if the parent says, oh no, I can't eat any carbs. Carbs just make me fat. And then their daughter or the son is supposed to just eat pasta.
Yeah.
Like how, what do you teach?
Doesn't add up.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what is worse? Health obsession or health abandonment?
You mean letting the child eat whatever or
allowing them to have the psychosis of being so consumed with their image, their health, their being, versus paying no mind whatsoever to what they're eating, if they're laying around the house, if you know what I'm saying? So which is worse?
I'm sure the answer is neither. Yeah. I mean, neither one is a winning situation. So it's like, I think that middle ground is the only correct answer.
Mm.
I would agree with that. There has to be a middle ground to that.
Right.
You have four kids. Yep. Dimitri, like how do you handle it? You have three daughters. How do you handle nutrition and diet in your house?
We're by no means are we the family that's like no sugar in this. I mean, I think to step away from that for one, like if you look in Europe, there's no drinking age, right? You don't see kids going crazy. Here, when kids get to a drinking age or they get to alcohol, they go crazy with it. I think it's the same thing with sugar. I think if you grow up and you're like, your parents are like, no sugar, no this, no this, at some point, it's like what you said earlier, Christy, about you don't eat all day and then you eat four bagels. It's like so what we do is we give them sugar and we let them have treats and stuff like that. But we also talk to them about eating healthy, not overdoing stuff. And something that stuck with me was one time, I think it was when my son was in preschool, and we went in for like a little, you know, talk to the teacher, see how everything's going and stuff. And they said, one of the things he mentioned was that he mentioned, important things is that, and this is not something I ever told him, but this is something that he'd seen. They're like, he said that, you know, daddy likes to work out and daddy likes to eat, you know,
healthy and this and that. So it was nothing I ever told them, but it goes to what you were saying, Chris, the scale about this and that. They see when you do stuff. So if I was home eating potato chips all the time and just like, don't eat, you know, eat healthy, then he'd be like, whoa. And it's what you said, Brooks. They learn from seeing you. It's that old commercial. Do you remember when Rick and I were young, there was a commercial that was like
a long time ago.
Remember, the dad the walked TVs in and found then? The kid with pot, and he's like, where'd you learn this? He goes, I learned it from you, Dad. It's like that was that commercial, and it's like that was about marijuana and stuff like that. But that's it's the same thing with food.
I have a question, Christy. How much of a role does portion control play into all of this? So, like, I love pizza, cheeseburger. I mean, I pretty much eat it all. I mean, we do try to eat healthy at home, but. You know, how much of that plays a role into all of that?
That is such
in trying to maintain a steady diet. Absolutely. You know, not a steady diet, but like if you, as long as you're eating the right amount of it and not overloading on it all.
Absolutely. So when I go into families' homes, so sometimes a family will hire me to come in, and this is the best approach because let's say you have one son who's an athlete and can kind of get away, quote unquote, with anything, right? They can eat an entire pizza and not even gain an ounce.
Yep.
And then you have a daughter who, unfortunately, for whatever reason, is a little bit maybe on the chubbier side and she can't get away with as much as the brother eats. This is a huge issue I find in families of like, you can have this, but you can't have this. And you can never, ever, ever do that. So it's better to come in. So they'll have me come in and just explain nutrition as a whole. And that's my favorite way of doing it versus just singling it out on one kid like, oh, no, she's got to only eat like this much. But honey, you can eat whatever you want. So I come in and talk about nutrition as a whole with the both parents of like their eating habits. What do you have in the house? Let's go through your pantry. What are some, you know, better choices that you guys can have in the house for snacks? And then we'll talk about the difference because it's a real thing. I mean, you do have, let's say, a growing kid who's a 14-year-old boy who's super, super active in like four different sports, and the girl's just in dance and she doesn't maybe is not as active and she is having a little bit of problems with her weight. So I'll address that, but it's coming from me versus the mom sitting there and saying something like that. So it's better in a, that type of setting. And then I talk about not to eat until they're full. Do you remember as a kid? I mean, I grew up in the Midwest in North Dakota, and this is like...
I thought it was until you're hungry. It's a joke.
But basically, what that means is how many times have you told your kid you're not getting off, you know, you're not getting up from this table
until you finish your plate?
See, I've never done that.
That's
I've
great.
Always said eat until, you know, when you're satisfied, don't... you. But then the problem was one of my kids came home from school one time and they were like, the teacher keeps saying clean container ranger, which means if they didn't finish what was in their thing. So I'm like, no. You eat when you don't want, when you're done and you feel like you've had enough, you stop. I don't care if you come home with a dirty container. I don't care. I'll talk to the teacher.
Amazing. But it's like, that is such, I mean, applaud to you. That is
dad of the year.
I'm getting in on
dad
this.
Of the year.
Seriously, that's the best thing I've heard. That's awesome. But going back to what you had said about portion control, because I think this is a really hot topic for a lot of parents. I've made these rules called Christie's rules, and everybody, the mom and the dad, I'll even tell the kids, like, you know what? If you see dad going in the kitchen and standing up and eating in the kitchen, you tell him like, hey, dad, you're breaking rule number three. That everybody feels like they're involved in it, like it's a wellness for the family, not for just a particular kid, which is like no standing and eating, no eating out of boxes, bags, containers, or jars.
Wait, what's with the no standing and eating thing? What's going on around here?
So you want to teach kids, just like not finishing their plate, listening to their body and start to be mindful. Kids are so into their phones and laptops and iPads that they're so disconnected all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the most important thing is to first establish where do you eat food in your house? Most kids will eat their dinner on the couch. So you want to establish eating dinner at the table.
Okay.
So when they get home from school, 3 o'clock, whatever, they're starving, they go into the kitchen and they just start opening up the refrigerator and they start eating like leftover turkey, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely mindless, right? They have no idea how much they're eating, when to stop.
Right.
Leftover turkey is probably not terrible, is it?
No, but again, it's creating that. It's the behavior. It's totally the behavior. So when they're physically hungry, I'm like, great, put together a snack, go sit down at the table, eat your snack, not while you're playing iPad and phone and everything else. Try to eat your snack and then go do something else. And so these rules are designed to bring mindfulness into play. So just like you were saying, portion sizes, it's listening to their body. If they're just scarfing down their food while they're working on a report for school, they have no idea when to stop. They're going to stop when the food is gone.
Then, like a half hour later, they're like, why am I so tired? Why does my tummy hurt? What's going on? It's because you're not connected. So if you're to eat slowly, your body naturally will tell you when you've had enough food. So you can eat things like pizza or things that are higher in calories, but your body will tell you when to stop. It doesn't always have to be salmon and broccoli and brown rice, right? Because that's no kid's going to live on that forever. But teach them how much to have so that when they're done eating, they feel good and energized, not that they feel weighed down and tired.
My sister, I FaceTime you guys. We talked about this. I love FaceTime, right? We talked about this. I FaceTimed my sister one time. I was like, Jody, you look amazing. Like, you look exceptional. What have you been doing? She goes, I've just been living the way I normally live, active the same way. I just changed my portion control. And she lost 22 pounds on portion control.
Wow, that's amazing.
So she didn't, it's not like she cut out carbs or potatoes or like what, anything. She just reined in consistently her portion control and lost 22 pounds and looked amazing. Felt amazing.
Wow. That's great.
That's great. Portion control is powerful.
That's my favorite. If there was a diet out there, because I don't really believe in diets at all.
Right.
If there was one, it's all about portion control. It's about listening to your body, having a plan. You don't leave the house, you know, just like you would as a parent. You would never go to the park and not bring snacks or water for them, ever.
Right.
But for yourself, you go out for the entire day and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to like wing it. I'll just whatever, pick up something. Well, guess what's convenient? Fast food.
Sure.
Right? So when you eat, let's say if I made a big platter of delicious chocolate brownies, okay, and I brought them in here, and they were warm from the ovens, the best brownies you've ever had, okay? And you took one, which should really be enough. Let's say they're a pretty decent-sized brownies, okay? One should be good. But the remnants of brownie is still in your mouth. So all that tells your mouth to do is continue to have that incredible experience and taste. But if you had one brownie and I gave you two cinnamon Altoids, after or a Listerine. I have some clients who use Listerine strips.
This is the Listerine Cool Mint spray. I carry this everywhere.
Okay, that's amazing.
If they want a sponsor, it'd be great.
I love the fishing that's going on in this.
That is such a great, but that's a great thing to carry around because nothing will taste very good after that. Would you agree? Nothing.
Yeah,
really
no, it's true.
Good.
I brush my teeth every time after I eat immediately because it stops me from eating again. More.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're at home.
Or a mint or something.
Yes, yeah. Something that interrupts that taste, then you can do it. So it's such a good trick. Like if you're going to a restaurant where they just have big portions. I mean, first I always tell people never go to ever out to eat hungry, right? Most people save their appetite. That's such a, I don't know, thing that people do too. They won't eat hardly all day because they're going to go out for the steak dinner. I'm like, that's the worst idea ever.
I got all kinds of bad ideas.
You get the potatoes and the asparagus.
Right? The bread basket comes and you devour the entire bread basket and it's a disaster.
You're getting warmed up.
So that's the whole plan is to eat slowly when you're not starving. And then when you know you've had enough and you feel good, but you still want to eat more because it tastes good, then there's that choice, right, that you have to make. And that's where the Listerine, whether it's spray or strip or a couple of Altoids or a piece of gum or something will help.
I disagree with this.
Okay.
Let me tell you why.
Yes.
You go out to dinner, right, and you have a nice steak, and you eat all kinds of things that you should not have if you want to go to the beach with your shirt off, and you try to do this as often as you can because it's delicious. I feel like when you have a great meal and it tastes so good, let's say you go out to a great place, you spend $100 on your meal or $150 or $200, you get some nice drinks, a delicious dessert, eat all the animals. And then, you know, when you're done, after you spend all that dough on yourself, you know, because you deserve it, or you don't, but you had the night off.
Totally get it.
Last thing I want to do is put a 5-cent stick of gum in my mouth and forget about the experience. I mean, I want to savor that.
Mm-hmm. But also at a restaurant, you're not probably ordering another steak. Like your steak is done. You ate your 8 ounces and, you know.
But
can't you get one to go?
On that note, I know we have to take a break, but can I just point out, has anybody noticed whenever Gavin talks about steak, he gets really like romantic? He goes, you know, you have a nice steak. And then you,
yeah, man.
The best
steak.
Part, he starts his body like movement.
The best part is, he goes, you spent $100, $150 on yourself.
There's nobody else in this scenario. This isn't a date.
The most romantic night for Gavin is himself with a steak.
I'll take a table for one.
Dude, here's
most
what I can do.
Most romantic spot you got, I'm treating this person tonight.
That's right. That's right.
It's me.
You have really earned it, beautiful.
Yes. You practice self-love.
I sit right in front of the mirror at the bar or the restaurant. I'm kidding. So, but like last night, I went to like one of my favorite places. I'm sitting at the bar. I see the guys who work there, people who always eat there. It's always the same scene, you know. It's like a real cast of characters in this place, you know. Every time I come to town, I go to the same place, right? Like, I want to sit down there. I want to have a great meal. I want to have hysterical conversations with these people because they're all funny. And we're all just kind of doing the same thing, which is everything, you know. And that's how we do it. You know what I mean? But I do understand we're talking about nutrition.
Well, wait a second, though. I do want to say one
thing. I abandoned that for a little while. I do apologize.
But it's totally normal. I would never say that every single time you have to eat exactly until you're satisfied. There are times where you're like, look, this is a delicious meal. We're traveling or we're going to this restaurant. And this is the time where I'm just going to be, you know, I'm going to eat a little bit more. It's going to be fine, whatever. It's okay. Because otherwise you're teaching them that it's never okay to overeat. And Thanksgiving, you should be able to stop exactly where you should and feel satisfied all the time. Like, I'm always like, you know what? It was delicious. Have another piece. But you're just not going to have four or five or six other pieces and then feel really miserable and sick.
You've got a little bit of room left in your esophagus. You're like, I think I might be able to.
Yeah. You know. So, I mean, that experience you just shared sounds like it's a lovely evening. I don't want to destroy it by putting, you know, an Eltoid in your mouth at the end. You might want to just finish it off
with
dessert.
Well, I think it's important to live a little, too. You know,
absolutely.
Like you gotta,
it's the balance. Yeah.
You will be healthier. Your mind will be healthier. If you can live a little, enjoy that steak. Enjoy that martini or whatever that is. And then the next day, you're going to get back on whatever schedule you're doing. And I think you'll feel good about yourself.
Well said. Agreed. Balance.
Well said.
Balance.
That's the main balance. Key.
I'm going to pick your brain after this break because I got 1,000 more questions.
Awesome.
So we asked you about what most men come to you for, but now for our women listening, what's the number one issue that women come to or approach you about or seek your consultation for? Mm-hmm.
So most women definitely are wrapped up in their body, for sure. With body image, feeling like they need to look more toned. Their stomach needs to be, you know, flatter. They need to have more toned arms. I think women, again, whether it's because of social media or just their own insecurities, as you get older, I think they are sort of chasing that younger body and wanting to know, what can I do? How can I eat? How can I exercise in a way that keeps myself still looking young and desirable? So I would say I would see most women for that. Yeah. For sure.
Wow.
Hmm? Yeah, I'm not afraid to say it. Yeah. It's like there's this little thing on my stomach that did not used to be there. And I'm like, what the F is that? And I will get rid of it. It motivates me to get rid of it, but I hate it.
Mm.
I hate it. Like, I look in the mirror sometimes and I go, ugh. Okay, fine. I'm just going to ask it. I won't cry, but I want to cry.
Can't cry.
I want to watch you cry. I'm going to try not to cry.
Good.
Do you guys think it looks as yucky as I think it looks? Like, and I know you're not talking about me because I'm not.
Okay.
No. I'll tell you why the answer is no, because everyone's their own worst critic.
Absolutely.
Period. Yeah. You know what I mean? The same way I go back, if I listen to a record I cut and I'm just like, oh man, oh, I gotta fix this thing, you know. If I'm working on something in the studio, I mean, I will obsess.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'll just talk about it from an artistic standpoint. You know, I'll get notes, I'll have exchanges with producers that they're like, I don't hear anything wrong. I'm like, what do you mean you don't hear that? Are you kidding me? It's irritating me like crazy. I mean, you must be deaf if you don't hear that. You know what I mean? I think we all kind of have that about ourselves in general. We are our own worst critics in every capacity. But I think self-criticism is healthy for you. You know, if you're not.
To a degree.
Mm-hmm.
This is another hot topic for sure, is negative self-talk. I think in our kids, in everybody, even men and women that I see, they are, like you said, their worst critic. But again, there's a level of motivation or the fact that it completely ruins their day. Like, I have some kids who won't go to a pool party because they
feel so horrible and ugly in their swimsuit that they will not go, and it takes them away from their life.
But
so
why do they feel horrible and ugly? They because there's it's never like we never had a time when everybody was in great shape. They feel horrible and ugly not because they feel that way, because it's what they've learned, what they see, and what they're told by whether it be social media or whatever. Everyone, you know, and you have, unfortunately, you have these people that are they're influencers, and you have these people that are celebrities, and they get they cheat stuff. They cheat stuff with plastic surgery. Exactly. They cheat stuff with apps where they can contour themselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then they go up there, and everyone's like, oh, my God, this is perfect. That's why a lot of times celebrities will do that no makeup day or whatever, and I think mm-hmm. that's a nice thing to do. But mm-hmm. these kids don't feel fat because they feel fat, because there's always been pudgy kids.
Agree. Mm-hmm. Completely.
They feel that way because, as a society, this is where we've turned things, is that, oh, if you're not perfect, then you're
I couldn't agree more. And that it's so sad. It really does break my heart. I mean, living in a small, you know, state of North Dakota, we used to go to pool parties and just put on swimsuits. I don't even remember thinking about, oh my gosh, at like 12 or 13, how am I going to look in the swimsuit, and what is ever? I mean, there wasn't even that thought. It was like, I can't wait to go have fun and hang out with my friends. Mm. Now there's this level of, well, I don't know, should I wear a bikini or a one piece, or like, is my stomach flat today, or do I wear a cover up? It's a serious issue. And so I think that the negative self-talk is just, it really is destructive. And I don't think they understand how destructive it can be. So just like what you were saying, Amy, it's fine to like look in the mirror and be like, oh, that part of my body that I really don't like, I'm going to do things that I can work on it, instead of, I hate myself today, I'm not going to, you know, go do something because I don't feel secure enough and, you know, going out and doing things because of my stomach, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where it becomes, can be very destructive, when you start limiting things that you would rather do or not do because of the way you look. And that makes me sad.
It's also a really like interesting, if you look at that, if somebody is self-conscious about an area of their body, it's a selfish thing, because they're assuming that everybody else is looking
paying
at
attention.
Them
totally.
And just paying attention exactly. to that one thing. It's a selfish behavior.
Yeah, totally.
And in reality, probably nobody in the room even has a clue about it. So it,
you mean you can't see the three rolls on my neck right now?
I cannot.
What about now? Well, now
I find it
now. I get it. But to your, like, if you would have never said that when we met or in the first couple of podcasts, I never would have noticed it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so I think we bring a lot of this on ourselves by thinking that our problem is the biggest problem in the world, and it's a selfish act.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Because I didn't notice that about you at all. I noticed all the other problems when I looked at you, Amy.
It was there.
Don't sugarcoat it. Don't sugarcoat
it. Well, no, I do have to, I will say, like,
Mr. Perfect. Because you never made a mistake.
Dumb and dumber. Nice.
I will say, getting older, being 45, like, it my body has changed, you know, and it's easy to say, oh, well, I don't have enough time in the day because of work or because of my kids or whatever. Quite honestly, to your, like, that is selfishness, you know, and like, I could dedicate a certain number of times or hours during the day to work out. It's just, and I feel like I'm reaching back to, I feel ashamed or bad about myself or how I look, because I feel like I'm trying to get back to when I was 18 or 21 and I was working out 8 hours a day for water polo or whatever. Mm. And I felt at that point so good, and I could eat 50 burritos in a row and not gain a pound.
You went in the pool after eating 50 burritos?
No, I would have licorice.
Eat licorice and then go swim laps and puke in the pool.
No, I used to. Not to sidetrack, but like.
Tell the story.
Chrissy.
No,
you talk about athletes.
Yeah,
performance.
I need to hear this.
Performance, nutrition, and athletes.
Well, Rick's got
really
a story.
I need to hear this.
This is going nowhere. But it had to do with heartburn, if I recall correctly, bringing this up when we first walked in the studio. And I was saying, people were commenting about heartburn. I said, well, I used to get heartburn all the time when I was working out in college. And I doubt it had to do anything with the beer or the marijuana or all the burritos that I was ingesting at the time. But I do recall that I would eat a huge amount of licorice and Starbursts and candy right before I would walk in onto the pool deck. And then I would go work out for 3 hours. And about halfway through practice, I would just get this raging heartburn. And
you had no idea where it came from, huh?
I could not figure it out.
And you threw up in the pool, right?
And then I was swimming, and I'd have to stop because it was so bad. The water was literally, like, my glands were just spewing out, like, whatever, saliva, and then all of a sudden I just start barfing in the side of the pool. And it's just all red, and then I start turning around. You're just going again.
You're just vomiting Twizzlers into the thing the side of the pool, and they forget you turn and say, "Oh God, I don't know what's wrong with me." Guys.
I believe they were red.
I must have eaten something. I don't know what I ate.
Let's ask the certified dietitian.
Well, we would have
of performance athletes. Uh-huh. What she thinks about that approach?
I think that is genius. By the way,
yes, thank you.
He was following your program to a T.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. That's like the worst thing you can do is putting all that sugar into your body.
It was great.
Yeah. I see it worked really well for you.
For about the first hour and a half.
You're flying. It was great. Oh, you're happy. Gosh. Just wired on sugar.
Can we get a picture of Rick up on our Instagram so people can see how handsome he really is?
Oh, thank you, Jimmy. But no, I feel so like there at a certain point, I'm trying to get back to, I think just mentally, I mean, physically, I'm not trying to, but I'm trying to get back to where I was when I was 23 or 24, or even 2 years ago, I was training really hard for a water polo tournament. Mm-hmm. And I was going like double days for, you know, which compared to Brooks was only 2 hours a day to his eight. But it felt so good. And I felt so in shape, and I was swimming and doing weights, and now I feel like I'm just a blob.
What was the main factor that steered you from your old program?
Well, the tournament ended, and then it was party time.
That was that.
Yeah. I had no more carrot.
The other substances that you mentioned before.
So I think that's a big issue for the older people that I see in my practice. I mean, I'm 45, too. I agree with you. I mean, your body changes over time. And I think with the older clients, I try to remind them, look, you can't go back to being 18 and 22 years old again. Like, that part of your life, I'm sorry, but...
It's over.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's just call it like it is. But you can have a new body and still be in shape and feel great and, you know, do the kinds of things that make you feel good and confident. But if you're trying to chase that 18-year-old, like, come on. Like, and the problem, again, like living in LA, there's so many people who have nips and tucks and surgeries and everything else looking absolutely incredible, thinking that they're just doing it by diet and exercise. Mm. Some maybe are, but majority have gotten some serious, like, surgeries done. It's hard to live up to that.
And I feel like, you know, not that I would ever go down that road, but I feel like, you know, it's like until I put in a serious effort, you know, maybe it is 8 hours a day or 6 hours or whatever it is.
No, it doesn't need to be that much, man.
But I think it's like how you get to a point where you feel good about yourself.
Absolutely.
So I have a question for Rick and Brooks. Rick, if you're supposed to swim across Lake Tahoe, don't you have to start training for that?
Oh yeah, I'm starting.
Wait,
a Trans Tahoe swim relay with six other people, and you swim.
Sponsored by Twizzlers.
I think it was Red Vines.
I think we went
whatever.
With Red Vines. Yeah, Red Vines came in with a better deal.
Buddy, what is this? Tell me about this.
Yeah, no. So it's a Trans Tahoe relay, and basically you swim across the Lake Tahoe. And there's six people in your boat. It could be co-ed, male, female, whatever. And so it's a relay race. So you have a starter and you swim for a half an hour and then you tag that person or jump in the water. The next person goes for a half hour and then you shorten it every 15 minutes.
And the water's like 50 degrees.
The water's freezing.
Oh, damn.
This year. I think it snowed up there last year, but couple days ago. But you basically relay all the way until you finish. Yep. And it's a great race. I mean, it's July 20th.
Speedos or wetsuit.
So you might want to start training.
No, so there's no wetsuit allowed.
Are you going to rock a Speedo?
Only, of course.
Are we going to be able to see that online?
I've done it three other times. It's excellent. You get a nice sunny day. You're out on a boat with, you know, six or eight of your good friends, and you're getting some great exercise in. And high altitude. There's no salt. I mean, the water is fresh, so it's a little bit harder to swim in.
You do that sober.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Do you want us up
afterwards?
For support?
Then we talk. Yeah.
Do you want us up there for support? Like shouting from the sideline?
That'd be awesome.
He doesn't know, but we're coming.
I want to follow that up. So he's talking about this is what I want to get to, which is what Rick is talking about, is about performance nutrition. Because there's nutrition, there's everyday nutrition, let's be healthy nutrition. But then a lot of our listeners of this show are achievers. Are performers that want high level, the best of the best. They want to elevate, succeed, and they want to do amazing things with their life. And for me, nutrition has been a big part of my life, and it's helped me succeed and elevate. I want to get into performance nutrition for myself. Also because my wife, who eats very healthy, last night she threw up after we went out for a meal.
What, did she go from super clean to something not clean at all?
It wasn't.
Was it extreme?
It wasn't an extreme. Okay. No. But she, more than me, she rides a roller coaster daily. I don't know if any of your guys' wives are like that, but she rides almost a roller coaster daily where something affects her to the point where I'm like, I can't watch you go through this roller coaster and have these, it's not mood swings, it's feeling swings on how her body feels based on nutrition. So where can we find, get some blood work done or something, find what we should and should not
so
be eating?
So I normally tell clients to ask their, because they'll go through their insurance. That's usually, but I know there are different places around LA that do that. I don't know off the top of my head, but normally I'll tell a client to go talk to their doctor and get a blood test done, a food allergy, a full panel of every food out there. So it has everything from spices and because some people are highly, don't even realize that garlic is actually one of the top ones that most people can't digest. And they've been, garlic's in everything. Yeah. So exactly. So if they're getting sick, but here's the other problem with this test, to be honest, is I wouldn't go fishing for something that isn't there, because some of these tests will come back and I mean, there's a lot of things that you might have slight allergies to. So some of the clients that come to me, yes, exactly. So it depends on the middle of the ground of like how obsessive they become. Because I was like, well, yeah, you have, you know, a little bit of sensitivity to this, but you really do love cheese, let's say. And you have a little sensitivity. Maybe don't eat it as often, but don't take it out. Because they're like, oh my God, now I can never eat cheese. And that's one of my favorite foods. I
love cheese.
But of course, if they are lactose intolerant or if they have like an actual allergy to it, I would absolutely tell them to take it out. So I would talk to the doctor about getting a blood test done and get a full panel of blood work to see what exactly, and they'll give you an entire chart, which the client will bring to me and be like, okay, now design a meal plan based on all these different sensitivities that I have. And we'll kind of rate them 1 to 10 of like, what are you most sensitive to? Then we have to take that out. What can we replace with? And there's so many amazing replacements now, and especially living in LA, we're so lucky that there's a lot of different foods. So that's first and foremost, is like, if you really want to dial that in because you're having some issues, but if you don't have any issues at all and you feel really good, but you just want to get, you know, at a higher level with your nutrition, then that's a different conversation. Then I would say, okay, let's currently look at what you're doing. First and foremost, take 7 days, exactly what you're eating in the times. Look at your sleep, look at your hydration. Sleep, by the way, is like the number one for me, because you got to get your body on a rhythm. Right, the circadian rhythm is a real thing. You can't be going one day you're in bed by 10, the next day you're going to 2, and then 7, and then you're napping for 2 hours because you're all over the place. You first have to get your body in some sort of a rhythm. So try to eat around the same times every day. Try to exercise ideally around the same time. Sleep around the same time if you can. And sometimes that's the impossible, and you just have to do the best you can. But try to get your body functioning that way. That's number one. And then most people don't drink enough water throughout the day. Now, for your community that you're talking to, they're probably big on health and nutrition, so they probably are and very cognizant about bringing a water bottle with them. But a lot of people, I'll ask them, they'll see me at 3 o'clock and I'm like, oh, how much water? And they're like, I don't know. They have no idea. They maybe had a sip of water at lunch today. So those kinds of things are important. But talking about superfoods, I'm a big fan of collagen. Yep. I think collagen powder is really definitely effective.
Collagen powder?
Collagen peptides. So there's like protein powder.
There's collagen ones too.
I'm a big fan of, well, you knew this probably at the Kings, but bone broth, I think, is really effective. So there are things that are out there. I'm a big fan of beet juice, huge fan of beet juice, cherry juice.
Beet juice will run right through you.
Mm. I had one quick question. How much does caffeine play a role in all of this?
Ooh, that's good.
Coffee.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like mental clarity or just in terms of getting...
No, not like the elite athlete side of it, just on a daily thing and how that works into your diet and doesn't. Like I'll typically have a couple of cups of coffee in the morning, about 3, just small cups, I mean, regular size small cups. And then I'll have a yogurt. Like for me, I have a...
What are you, I'm just laughing because you're like, because you're saying I have a couple of cups of coffee, probably 3, not, you know, regular cups, the small ones, the small regular ones. You're contradicting yourself with everything. Are they small or are they regular?
How many cups are you really having, Rick?
3
That's
cups.
What we really want to know.
Thank you.
I was
So are you sensitive
like measured as cups like, or like three mugs much that are your mug at the house?
Is it fine for you to have that much? Should you have more?
It's 100% fine to have that much. So here's what I would say. If you need caffeine to get through your day, but if you have three cups of coffee, let's say in the morning to start your day, and you feel fine, you're not jittery, and if you're drinking enough water, you're not, you know, you're hydrating yourself, that kind of thing, and you're fine. There's nothing wrong with starting your day. If you need to have caffeine all day long to get through your day, then we've got another problem. Yeah. So I would say, I usually say 2 to 3 max cups of coffee. Or if you have a cup of coffee in the morning and you want a latte in the afternoon, it's fine. But if you're needing cup after cup after cup to get through your workday, we've got bigger issues.
And what is the most, what's a good amount of water for the common dad bod guy?
I usually say around 4 liters. So if you get like a liter bottle,
yep,
any of those bottles, and then drink specifically from that bottle, like fill it up so you can track it versus, oh, I had a cup here and cup there, but I never really finished the whole cup, so it's only sips out of it, and then you have no idea.
Yeah. It's the gallon challenge.
My wife
is doing this right now. She has a purple water bottle that's a gallon, and it has little markings on it, 7 a.m., 9 a.m., keep going, it's lunchtime, 2 in the afternoon,
it's all, yeah.
4, 6, enjoy dinner, push through till, you know, bedtime, and you try and drink a gallon of water.
I mean,
I drink about 6 to 8 of those 32-ounce Nalgene bottles, you know, every day of water.
Mm-hmm. So there's 32
probably every 30 minutes.
Yeah, there's about 33 ounces in a liter.
Go to break here.
Takes about 3 minutes to drain it.
I have a quick question, though. And Gavin, you might want to listen to this because it's about steak.
I'm all ears.
I love steak. I love to eat it. But when I eat steak, I used to kind of not feel great after. But when I started eating grass-fed beef, I feel a ton better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easier for your body to digest and break down.
Okay.
It's like as simple as that, honestly.
So there's something I'm imagining. It is much better.
Absolutely.
Because there were times when I would wake up like with like a meat hangover.
Mm-hmm.
But when if it's a grass-fed steak or something, I wake up and I feel good.
Yep.
I think that has to do with the
hangover,
wine.
Another word for diarrhea?
No, it means you feel like
slow.
I'm like the salt, and I feel slow, and I just feel like
That's from the beet salad.
I thought they said that if you ate grass-fed beef, you could basically ignore all the negative press that beef gets. If it's
grass-fed. Except for the killing of animals.
If it's grass-fed,
sure it depends. I mean, it's
grass-fed. It's
definitely
cleaner.
Higher quality. There's no question. And I would much rather you eat high quality meats across the board, like grass fed and organic. And
bison is great.
Bison is amazing.
Bison is actually lower in saturated fat than salmon.
But just because it's grass fed, I wouldn't say that you can eat as much as you want. Just
and then you
saying.
Dip it in high fructose corn syrup.
Mr. Nutrition.
Right. Well, Gavin could be Christy's assistant.
You know what?
Like, I look great in glasses, actually. Too. I mean, we could do this.
Do I hear a little grass-fed beef song on the next album?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We have Danielle has a question from a listener. Can you please read it?
The question is from a listener who shall remain nameless. What is a sexy Instagram post from a woman? What isn't?
Ooh.
Oh.
I thought, wow, okay. I thought this was going a different direction, but let's go at this.
Yeah.
Gav?
What's a sexy post?
On Instagram and what isn't? What's going to get a double tap from Mr. Gavin DeGraw and what is not?
Well, man. I like the way women look. Everything gets a like. I like it all.
Transition?
They all deserve to be liked.
What is that like? Is that like a participation
trophy
medal.
That's interesting. Thanks for being a woman. Double tap.
Is that a participation? Like, congratulations on 9th place, Gavin.
Like,
here's your medal.
I like participation. I like participation. It depends. I guess you're right. I guess it does depend on the post. What is sexy? Not too much. Mm. Too much is too much.
Yeah.
But it's hard to find a touch of class, isn't it? You guys got married to somebody you probably thought was a little classier than the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it probably requires them growing out of the Instagram phase so that they could establish class and, you know, some can come back to it and start a new account.
I don't know if this is on topic. Sorry, Dimitri, to cut you off.
No, it's not at all.
Is trying too hard, that is not attractive.
I agree.
When they look like they have showered. I like clean.
Now it's starting to come out. Now you're starting to get more specific.
Clean's good. Soaped up. Okay. But dried up.
This is still.
Afterward. Not in the shower.
Further, Instagram,
I want it to look
post.
Like they take showers. That's important to me. Okay.
Yeah. I'll say this. I like. I don't like over the top. Like, I would much rather prefer. Well, one, I don't like the duck lips and all that kind of stuff. But I would much rather prefer some when they go like.
Like college, like the injections. Yes,
right. I don't like I don't like the sexy poses. I am more of I would rather.
Bad. I was working on a pretty hot pose for you right now.
You're grandfathered in. It's fine. But it's like I don't know. I would rather see someone in a pretty outfit that's a sexy outfit as opposed to seeing someone in like their bikini posing for the world to see. Like to me,
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I there is a friend of mine that I was following and. Or I am following, and she had just posted a photo of herself with some friends, and she was in full bikini. And I mean, don't get me wrong, she looked great, but it was past the age of like, she was trying too hard. Like that was her whole point of the post,
right?
Was to like, hey, I look awesome in this bikini, and
yeah,
and I don't, you know,
and you're
like,
fishing for compliments and for attention, and that's a turnoff, by the way,
right? And it's like she's married, she's got kids, she's all, you know, it's like,
right.
I don't know. I mean, like, have I done that myself? Yeah, I think so. You know, I'm like leaning down and showing my, you know, tricep or whatever it's called.
Mom.
Yeah, shows how good I look. But I think going to that question, it's like, I think if you're trying too hard, it comes across as bad.
Let's ask the ladies.
I think you're right.
What's acceptable? What's not? What do you feel is a sexy post? What is over the top? What's too much?
I hate it when dudes take a picture in front of a mirror or when they are like recording themselves workout like that.
Oh no. What's going on?
Unless it's sponsored. No. Not, hold on.
Okay. Rewind.
Gavin just got Brooks's check.
I got the cue.
Gavin just got Brooks's check.
Oh my Brooks God. Danielle. That's Brooke, like.
Push. Push.
I think he's coming back, everybody.
Brooks is in the men's room right now. Brooks is in the men's room right now doing push-ups and crying.
He wanted to take a potty break.
Damn.
He drank too much water and some beet juice, and he had to go to the bathroom real quick. But he is coming back.
She also doesn't like musicians.
Yeah. She also hates music.
Or dudes that are 45 and 2
kids. That's right.
Don't tell
guys that are bald. Who is this chick? Jeez.
Here's the thing. I would love to see what Brooks is doing because he's reputable in that field. So that makes sense to me for you to post a workout
the
video.
An influencer and an athlete, sort of. That's a different. That's or a just like conversation, but
you're, you know, a guy that you follow on Instagram that you went to college with that has no relation to the workout field or health and fitness world.
Yeah.
Posting a video of him working out because he wants to show off his biceps. Like,
gotcha.
That is not attractive to me. Or when a guy posts a picture of him in the mirror showing off his abs, I'm like, ugh, I don't want to see that. Mm. You know?
What do
That's
you
why
do
I don't
some
do
girls
that.
Want to see that?
Yeah, sure.
If you're married, you might
That's
not
true.
Want to see it. But
true,
do
but I,
girls go on Instagram? Do women go on Instagram so they could check out a dude?
That's cut
up.
That's when I go back to my John Stamos shirtless and I just Google it.
How do you feel about that?
It's awesome.
Wait, so
Peter Gallagher.
Awesome.
So this is like Peter Gallagher is like very old.
Yeah,
I don't want to offend him if he's listening. Yeah, he was on the OC and he's on Grace and Frankie. And I have spent a lot of time Googling Peter Gallagher shirtless, but it takes me too far back, like to the 80s, and I want the current Peter Gallagher shirtless.
Right, the seasoned man look.
Yes, he's like 60 and he is so hot, and I'm like, I don't know why, but I'm into it.
Let's get you a date with Peter
Gallagher.
Oh,
I'm sure he's got a, like, I'm sure he's married.
Well, let's look into it.
That's why I also had my weird Michael Keaton phase that
so,
many people remember.
Get it.
Okay,
hey,
so
I recently went to Gallagher Steakhouse. Very good.
So I think we figured out who anonymous emailer was.
I did a lot of Michael Keaton shirtless for a long time
Michael
there.
Michael Keaton shirtless.
But I think you're right, Amy, in the sense that there are a few women that I do follow and for certain looks.
On Instagram.
Not down the street.
Yeah,
okay. My car. Yeah,
like, let me be clear about this.
I don't typically stand outside their house. Only on Thursdays,
But no, you don't stand there because they'll see you. You duck down.
I go behind the bushes and then I go over the fence.
Totally.
Done this before?
But, and they happen to be models, but I do want to see certain things, you know, and in Instagram, it's not as fun as, you know, watching my, you know, friends hit the ball over the fence, you know, or play baseball or whatever. Like, there are certain things that you want to seek out to kind of get a little jive off of, or, right, you know, buzz. But I do have something else, another point of, like, is it, and this, maybe I'm going down a different path and we'll eat and we'll take it all out, but is there a difference between somebody working out on Instagram for a business or a purpose and somebody who is sanding their wood? Because he's a table maker or a wood crafter and he's trying to sell his tables or cutting boards or whatever woodwork, like, maybe he's shirtless. Maybe, you know, I don't know.
Well, here's my approach on it. So for the dudes thing, I think there's a massive, and this may be a good podcast or something one day, I think there's a massive difference.
What are we doing? I thought this was a podcast.
We should do one of those.
Guys, next time, microphones. Next time,
yeah. Are we recording? I think there's a massive difference between an influencer and somebody that is an athlete or credible in, like, when I work out, it's actually training. It's professional level training, trying to compete with and against the best in the world.
Right.
And what I'm trying to do with these posts is to create a community of this and inspire other people to become the best versions of themselves. They don't have to compete at my level, but it is an area that I know. I have proven, I have a resume and credibility there, and I'm doing it from an authentic place, and I'm growing a community like that. I'm not posting and have never posted a shirtless
vanity
photo
pictures
in front of a mirror with the towel really low so you can almost see your bits. Yep. You know,
everybody wants to see that V-line.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I've never done that, but I do love sharing fitness.
Right. So when you see, like, some of the influencers working out, doing such and such, and you go back and look at their old high school scores, and you're like, yeah, but you still suck at sports.
No, I don't. No, because it's not all about being good.
You're fit, but you're a terrible athlete. Doesn't matter. That,
but it's just
never going to help,
man,
your gene pool.
It's just different. It's whatever your fitness goals are, good for you. So if a person's healthy and fit, good for them.
Yeah, I agree. And in talking to you last time, it was like, you know, I was trying to get motivated, and you came up with some ideas. And every time I see your Instagram post on whether you're doing squats or rows or whatever, like, literally, I think it was 3 days ago, I went to the gym, which had been a long time, and I literally saw one of those bikes that you move the handles this way, you know.
Oh yeah, I did a nasty workout on that,
like,
today.
Fan wheel thingy. Yeah. And I was looking around the gym, I'm like, well, I hate running on the treadmill, I hate this, I'm like, Brooks rides that thing. And so I hopped
that
on
looks
that
like
thing.
A good little machine.
Yeah, it's a good machine. And I was like, dang, you know, like, I'm going to do that, you know, and because of your post.
And maybe everybody would like to follow us on Instagram.
Absolutely.
Oh,
plug it.
What is our Instagram?
How Men Think Podcast.
Yeah. So, and our email?
men@iheartradio.com. So we want to, what else you got, Amy?
I'm just thinking we'll put all the kind of photos you like.
Okay.
We will not be in towels showing our bits.
Let us know who you want a shirtless selfie of on our men.
And if you want our bits, you just let us know.
Yeah, go visit spreadeagle.com at iHeartRadio.
Okay. Hold on. Christy, back to you. Where can people find you? Because you are such an asset. Thank you so much for taking the time today. You've impacted my life when I was with the Kings, and I want to continue to work with you and with my wife on our nutrition and performance nutrition. Where can people find you for their children's nutrition, their nutrition, anything? Where?
On her Instagram. Look at my bits.
Jeez, Amy. Yeah. Amy, we're losing you. We're losing you. Christy, where can our listeners find you?
It's camsportsnutrition.com.
Okay.
Or they can just email me at Christy.
All right.
Why not? Isn't that email? It's not okay.
Yes, email's great. Where can
Christy
we email you at?
ChristyRDMorell@gmail.com.
So MORRELL.
Correct. So Christy RD, as in registered dietitian, Morell, MORRELL@gmail.com.
Christy with a K.
Great.
Christy with a K. Yeah. K-R-I-S-T-Y. Because there's lots of ways to spell
and
Christy.
And Instagram, can people contact you on Instagram or Facebook? You said Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christy M.
Christy M on Facebook.
It's going to be a workout just fine. So,
for anybody else listening, if you want access to Christy, email us, man@iheartradio.com. We'll get you connected with her. We'll maybe put some of these in show notes, some of the ways you can connect with Christy. Round of applause for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I did bring you guys a treat today.
Yes, oh, we got, I said that. So, she brings the best snacks.
Really? So the last thing here.
Brownies. Let's have,
yeah. Gavin won't eat it unless it's a miss. Steak. Unless it's a steak, steak, Gavin won't eat it. what do we got? Or licorice? Rick wants some damn licorice. Gavin wants some steak.
Hey guys, it's Brooks, and one last thing before you take off. We want to know your thoughts, feedback, insights, and questions for us on this show. Send us an email at men@iheartradio.com and follow along with us on Instagram @HowMenThinkPodcast, and we'll see you back right here next week for the next episode.